Here with you today. It's a great privilege and joy for me to be here, and I hope that I'll be a blessing to you and you'll be a blessing to me, and we'll have a great fellowship together. Now maybe you wonder, why did I choose this text? Why not speak about the gospel? Why not speak about justification or other great themes? Honestly, I don't know. This is what the Lord laid on my heart, and I want to obey Him. Now, how many of you heard about George Whitefield and John Wesley? Some of you, many of you did. So they were two great agents of the Great Awakening or the Revival. And, you know, they had disagreements amongst themselves. They didn't agree on everything. So when somebody asked George Whitefield if he thought that he would see Wesley in heaven, and he asked him, "Do you think you will see Wesley in heaven?" And Whitefield responded, he said this, "I fear not, for he will be so near to the eternal throne, and we, at such a distance, we shall hardly get sight of him." Wow, what great humility in this man. Now, what is humbleness? What is humility? It is having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's importance. It is a behavior that is marked by meekness, by modesty, by lowliness. And, you know, we live in a culture here in the Western world where self is being lifted up more and more. It's all about me. And superstars are the new fashion. Everybody, the young generation, they want to be a superstar. And you were speaking a moment ago about heroes. Nobody wants to be a hero anymore. And do you know what the difference between a superstar and a hero is? A superstar looks for attention. A hero has virtues. He values virtues. And he does things even if nobody pays attention. He doesn't actually care about attention. So because in the Western world, but not only in the Western world, more and more internationally, self and pride is being lifted up. Now, humility, it's in the way. It's in our way to lift up ourselves. And people want to push it aside. So in the letter of Peter, Peter writes for the instruction of God's people how they should live holy under suffering. So he tells them, he prays God for the fact that he born them into a living hope. He then tells them that they should live holy because God is building a spiritual house, or the living stones. He then tells them how they should live in pagan societies. And lastly, in chapter 5, our brother just read how he tells the shepherds how to lead the flock in humility, not to lord over them. But then he turns to the flock and he says, "Now I told them what to do, I'm now telling you. Because they don't lord over you, you too also should submit to them, should be humble." But you see, submission is very difficult if we are not humble. It's actually quite impossible. So I would like to look at three things. Firstly, the importance of humility in the church. Then the reason why humility is commanded. And then I would like to conclude with Peter's own argument. So the importance of humility in the church. Now, Peter here, firstly, he speaks in relation to the leaders, and then he speaks in relation to one another as members of the body. And he begins in verse 5. He says, with a statement, "Young men, in the same way." Now, some commentators say it might refer to young people or to the younger believers, but I think there is a principle there. It's for everybody. We should submit to our elders, to our leaders. And like I said, he told the elders, do not lord over them. Do not be dictators. You know, I come from Romania. We had communism and we had dictators. So he's telling them, don't be dictators. And then once we see our leaders love us and they're not dictators, we should submit to them. We should love them. And submission is the fundamental attitude of spiritual maturity. And for example, we can see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. verse 12. It says, we are to acknowledge those who work hard among ourselves. In other words, we need to acknowledge our leaders. Acknowledge Pastor Ben and the other elders and those who are serving with the coffee and everybody who is involved in God's ministry, not only the people who are in the front. We're all important. We're all equal in God's eyes. We just have different gifts. Now why? Why should we submit to our leaders? Because God appoints them. God says he gave some to be teachers, some to be pastors. So God appoints them. God gives them the authority. And as long as they don't contradict the scriptures in spiritual matters, we should submit to them. Even if we disagree. And you might think, oh. But yes, even if we disagree. Because I give you an example. And that's Peter. You know, Peter was fishing all night. And then he comes in the morning and Jesus comes to him and says, go and fish again. Go and throw the net. And he basically thinks, well, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing. This is my job. I've been doing this for years. You're telling me to go? I just come from there. Why should I go? But he says, at your word, in other words, because you have authority, I don't agree, I disagree with you. I've been there, you know, it's my job. But at your word, because you have authority, I will do it, even if I disagree. Now, without humility, this is impossible. We wouldn't do it. Nobody would. Now, we need humility to maintain peace and order in our churches, in our societies. It is essential. Then, spiritual matters, we should submit to our leaders, respecting them as authority from the Lord. And to give you an illustration, think about a policeman. He walks on the streets, he does his job, he has authority from the state. And if he stops you, let's say, or maybe with your car, and he stops you, you stop, isn't it? Now why? Why do you stop? Because he has authority. He's a police guy. The state gave him authority to do certain things. Now in the same way, God appoints leaders and he gives them authority. And as we submit to the police in the human society, in the church, spiritual society of God, we submit to our leaders. Secondly, humility in regard to church members. He tells all the people in the congregation, humble yourself, clothe yourself, put on humility amongst yourselves. Be humble with yourselves. That is how they ought to behave. Submit to the elders and clothe themselves with humbleness towards one another. Now again, our society teaches us it's all about us. I must be better than you. I am better than you. And the Bible teaches us we should regard our neighbor higher than ourselves. It's exactly the opposite. Our society tells us, I'm the best, you know, I'm better than you. The Bible says, no, regard the other ones higher than yourselves. And that's how we have to behave amongst ourselves in the church. To see your neighbor, the one who sits next to you, higher than yourself. Now, in antiquity, humility wasn't considered a virtue. And nowhere is considered today in many places. But in our Christian world, in our Christian worldview, we consider it a virtue. And God commands us to be humble, to regard the others higher than ourselves. And we can see this example in Jesus' life, our great Savior, our great example. And you know what Jesus did? He humbled himself and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now in the Jewish world, that was not normal at all. You would never do that. A rabbi would never wash the disciples' feet. And Jesus humbles himself. He who is the king of the universe. And he washes the feet of even those who betray him later on. Can you imagine that? What humility. To wash the feet of the one who would betray you. Two of them, actually. Peter and Judas. Now, being humble and subject to God, I suggest, will bring more comfort to our souls than pride and the gratification of our ambitions. Will bring much more comfort. Now, what is the reason why Peter is commending humility? He gives us a reason, and he says, there are many reasons why we should be humble, but I want to concentrate on what Peter says here. He says in verse 5, the second part, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble and to the oppressed. Now, first, if you want to have a strong enemy, if you want to have a good fight, then be proud, especially in God's society, in the church. Be proud. Then you'll have God as an enemy. He will stand against you. And why does God oppose the proud? Well, God opposes the proud because the proud opposes God in the first place. And pride makes you look like a fool. Pride gives you overconfidence. And the Bible says that it leads to shame. It goes before the fall. A perfect example of pride would be Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know how many of you heard. I think all of you heard of Nebuchadnezzar, who, after conquering all the countries around him, pride caught up with him. He lifted himself up and he said, "Who is like me?" And do you know what God did? For 7 years, he was like an animal. From up here, God placed him to eat grass like the animals. And do you know what did that? Pride. Pride. He was proud. And God's response to that was, "I'll humble you." But on the other hand, we are told, because God's favor, it's with the humble. And for example, in Proverbs 3:34, he says, "He mocks the proud mocker, but shows favor to the humble and to the oppressed." Therefore, we can come to the conclusion that humility, it's good, but it's also necessary. If you want to have the favor of God in your life, just be humble. Be humble with other people. Be humble with God. Be humble. Thirdly, Peter's own conclusion to his argument. He states in conclusion and he says, because God opposes the proud, therefore humble yourself. Simple as that. You know that God is the strongest person in the universe. You know that God opposes the proud. The simple conclusion is, therefore humble yourself. Do it. Humble yourself. And then he goes on to say, under the mighty hand of God. Now this is an expression of God's working power in people's lives to fulfill his plan. So this expression appears many times in the Old Testament. In Exodus, for example, when Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go, this expression is found, that God's mighty hand was pressing on him. And this is what is happening to us if we are proud. His mighty hand might press us sometimes, might bring discipline in our lives sometimes. But they, then, Pharaoh and all of them, were not supposed to fight against God's hand, isn't it? But we, as well, in our lives, we are not supposed to fight against God's mighty hand. Even if he brings discipline, he brings sometimes, or allows, not necessarily brings, difficult times in our lives, we are not supposed to fight against God's mighty hand, but to humble ourselves. Now, when we are humbling ourselves and accept God's way, then at the right time, it says, God himself will lift you up. If you do it, if you humble yourself, then God himself at the right time will lift you up. And I want to show you an example. I'm going to use your Bible. An example which is found in Job chapter 42. Now, Job was not suffering because he did something wrong. God allowed pain to come into his life. But you know what the response of Job was to his pain? Job 42. I'll read you what Job's response was to his suffering, to his problems. Job 42, 1 to 6. Then Job answered to the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, this man, he didn't suffer for sin. He didn't commit anything to deserve God's discipline in his life. And yet, you know what his response was? I just read it. He humbled himself. He said about himself, I despise myself and I humble myself. How much more, if God rightly sometimes discipline us, we should humble ourselves. Simple as that. And what happens, I want to show you what the verse says in reality. So the verse says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, because at the right time, God himself will lift you up. And we see this example in Job's example. Verse 10, and the Lord restored the fortune of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Can you see in Job's life, as soon as he humbled himself, he accepted God's way, God restored him. And it's the same with us. It's the same with us. Now, Peter concludes his argument by suggesting a way in which humility is shown, and that is by our ability to cast our care upon God. He says, cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you. And isn't it a proud presumption to take things into our own worry? We can't, Jesus said, make even one hair grow. We can't solve our own, well, maybe we can, some of them, but we don't have control over the future. And Peter says, because you're not God, because you don't have power over this, humble yourself, because God promised to take care of you if you cast your care on him. Jesus said, you shouldn't worry in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31, in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, what are some of the application for us from these two verses? We should firstly be humble with our leaders and submit to them because God put them there. We should be humble because that is the means of preserving peace and stability in the church. We should have a humble behavior and attitude and in spirit towards one another and put the other higher than ourselves. We should be humble because pride takes God's favor away from us. Because God himself opposes the proud. We should be humble because pride brings shame and it always goes before the fall. We should be humble because pride is a sin. We should submit to God's will even though he might take us through trials and discipline, because at the right time, he himself will lift us up. We should show our humbleness by casting our cares upon God. Now, what are some of, I want to give you an example of some of the marks of humility. How can it be recognized in our lives? The willingness to perform the lowest and the littlest service for Jesus' sake. There are some people, if you don't allow me to sing, I won't do anything else. Now, that's not a humble attitude. If somebody asks us to go in the toilets and clean them, that's fine. We are doing it for the king. We're not doing it for the church, primarily, or for the leaders, but primarily we're doing it for Jesus. So it doesn't matter what we do. Consciousness of our own inability to do anything apart from God shows humility. The willingness to be ignored of man. Self-forgetfulness and being truly other-centered instead of self-centered. Lastly, humility is shown in our ability to cast our care and anxieties upon God. Now, there is a story that I would like to close with. And this story is about a man called Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary in China. And two women in Shanghai were discussing the topic of pride. And they begin to wonder if Hudson Taylor was ever tempted to be prideful because of his many accomplishments. One of the women decided to ask Taylor's wife, Maria, about it. Maria promised the woman that she would find out. When Mrs. Taylor asked her husband if he was ever tempted to be proud, he was surprised. He said, "Proud about what?" "About all the things you have done," his wife explained. Taylor responded, "I never knew I had done anything." I was shocked when I read this story. I never knew I had done anything. And I'll close with this quote from John Bunyan. He says, "He that is down needs fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide." May God help us all to be humble people, both with ourselves and with our leaders. Can I just quickly pray? Father, we are grateful for your word. We thank you that you have given it to us to learn, to live in accordance with it. Lord, I pray this morning that you will challenge our hearts and that you will change us, that you will help us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from the highest of glories and humbled himself and took on him flesh and became a man. Not only that, but he died on a cross, who was considered to be a curse. He endured the shame because the joy that was set before him. Lord, may you help us to be humble people. In Jesus' name, amen.